Kia ora and welcome to this episode of the MH Austenite. I'm Frances Duncan, an author and the founder of the Jane Austen Society of Aotearoa New Zealand. My co-host today is Emma.
Greetings.
We're going to be discussing Chapter 3 of Northanger Abbey. In Chapter 3, they attend another ball, and Catherine is lucky enough to dance with a charming, flirting Tilney. The Pump Room was a place in Bath that was just like the public place where everybody went to see and be seen, could taste the water there, which is the whole reason of going to Bath. And they also had the Pump Room book where you could sign in, basically. So people could scan through it and go, are any of my friends here? So you can see who's in town and then know where they're staying, because of course you didn't have phones. But it's very boring for Catherine because Mrs. Allen just keeps going, oh, I wish we had a numerous acquaintance. Over and over.
She is so boring, Mrs. Allen. So utterly tedious.
In fact, I think even shopping with her would be boring because she's so much more excited about it than you are. That you're like, yeah, it's pretty. Okay, you've been talking about the pretty dress for 15 minutes. I feel like I'm done now.
Except she's so nice, so you can't be mean to her. And also, she's the reason Catherine's in Bath.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's her host. Possibly Catherine doesn't even find her boring. It's just the reader.
Catherine is introduced to Mr. Tilney by the Master of Ceremonies, who is Mr. King. He is actually a historic figure. The reason that he exists is to do this introduction thing, because you can't talk to somebody or definitely dance with them unless you've been properly introduced. So it's the role of the Master of Ceremonies to make introductions for people, for potential partners. So you could go up to him and say, hi, I'd like a nice young man to dance with, please. And then he'd find someone and do the matchy-matchy thing.
But he would have to be sure that they were a desirable person before he introduced you. It would be a bit of a tricky job.
It would, particularly because during this time you could basically pretend to be anybody.
Well, presumably he did a bit of cross-checking.
One would hope. You'll note at the end of the chapter that Mr. Allen actually goes and asks, presumably Mr. King, about who Mr. Tilney is to ensure that he is an appropriate person for his charge to be dancing with. But presumably the information that Mr. King has is the information that he has gained from Mr. Tilney.
Well, I'm sure they've talked among themselves, though.
It is kind of a small society because you have Catherine going, how do you not know anyone here? There's so many people. Even though she lives in an entirely different part of the country, it's expected that when you go to a public place, you're going to run into people that you know.
They used to call the gentry, the upper 10,000, yeah?
Mm.
Or was it the aristocracy? Maybe it's the aristocracy. If there are 10,000 rich people, you know someone who knew someone.
It's a bit like New Zealand, the 2 degrees of separation, and there's like 5 million people that live here, so 10,000's not going to be hard.
Why your reputation is so important, because you would get found out quite quickly, but it might be too late for a young lady.
And you couldn't pretend to be someone with a known name.
You know, if you think of the state of the roads and the fact that photography hasn't been invented, you probably could impersonate someone.
So long as you...
a certain length of time.
Yeah, so long as you don't meet anyone they know. Spoiler, Mr. Tilney is not pretending to be anybody else. He is actually just himself.
This is that speculation thing we were talking about.
And he is not quite handsome, but very near it. Which makes him, again, not really a hero. He should be dashingly handsome, devastatingly so. So rich also. But he's a clergyman and he's kind of cute.
But that makes him accessible for Catherine.
True. Because her father
is a lot older than her. 4 or 5 and 20. And she's 17.
But during this time period, women tended to marry men that were quite significantly older than them because men had to be established. They had to have money coming in to be able to support a family. And when you want to get married, do you want to marry someone who can have the babies?
And be a virgin.
Of course, because that is, for some reason, very important. I heard an interesting theory that Mr. Tilney is Jane Austen.
He is really witty, but also a bit naughty.
Which does sound like Jane Austen. Archness and pleasantry in his manner, which interests it. And yes, she drew people to her. And Austen says in one of her letters about, you know, she makes fun of people, but they don't understand her, so it's okay. The bit where he forms his features into a set smile and affectedly softens his voice with a simpering air. This is so the sort of thing that Jane Austen would also do, I think. My Jane Austen would.
There's a long section of dialogue between the two of them here, and despite how innocent Catherine is, she actually holds her own in this conversation, her first conversation with a man who is almost handsome and significantly taller than her and established in life. I just think she does a really good job. He's smart and funny, and she's had hardly any contact with men before. I think she should be quite proud of how she manages her first conversation with a marriageable man.
That perhaps I keep no journal. So impressive. I can try this flirting thing. He is such a flirt, and I think this is why that we've got all of the dialogue, so you can go, oh, I get why she likes him, because he's so flirty.
But he's not trying to deceive her. So no. That passage you mentioned just now, that he lowered his voice in the simpering tone, he's trying to get her in on the joke.
Because he asks her beforehand, I have been very remiss. I am so sorry. I'm now going to do the appropriate thing and ask you the appropriate questions. Are you ready? Let's go. He's making fun of the small talk that people make. We're having an actual conversation, so I forgot to do the small talk. Should we do the necessary small talk?
He also does have a strangely good knowledge of young ladies' interests. So he does know why young ladies keep journals, and he does know a lot about muslin. So Mrs. Allen comes along and is so boring. But he has a conversation with her about muslin that shows that he really does know about the fabrics that ladies make their dresses from.
Because he's bought fabric for his sister. I think his sister makes a huge part of why he's so great like this, because he's spent time with a woman, so he knows what interests them and he knows how to talk to them. But when it comes to Mrs. Allen, Catherine fears that he indulges himself a little too much with her foibles. I think she's like, is he making fun of her? She can't tell that he's making fun of her, but I think he might be.
So good on Catherine for noticing. Does tell you that Mr. Tilney is a bit naughty.
Yeah, the other thing that he says is, women are great at writing letters, except that everything they do is terrible. And Catherine goes, what? That's not really a compliment. But he does make a point about the general deficiency of subject, which brought to mind Lady Bertram in Mansfield Park. It's commented on the fact that she can write pages and pages of beautiful handwriting about absolutely nothing.
I wouldn't care to receive a letter from Mrs. Allen either.
Well, darling, I just went to the shops. I must tell you about this muslin. In great detail, the colour, the feel, exactly how much it cost, and all the bartering that I did. Also, the five other muslins that I decided not to purchase. Yeah. And why.
Having said which, Jane and Cassandra Austen's letters to each other contain a lot about the price of muslin.
It's an essential thing. During this time period, most of the dresses were made from muslin, and there's a whole thing. We'll now talk about another podcast called The Thing About Austen. They have an entire episode about muslin, and it is excellent. So you should go and listen to it. Jane Austen's like, is she in love already? She's going to bed and she should not dream about him because it would be very inappropriate. Which is pulling up a quote from Samuel Richardson saying that it would be too forward for a woman to love a man before he declares his love for her. How can you reciprocate something when it's first presented to you?
I have to say that misunderstands the nature of love. Although what we think of as love now is not the same as what Samuel Richardson would have been thinking of. What Catherine is feeling right now is infatuation.
Although, to be fair, in most of the movies and stuff that we have nowadays anyway, when they're talking about love, they are talking about infatuation.
Yes, that's what I mean. Love at first sight is in fact infatuation. And it may develop into love, and then retrospectively you'll look back and say, this is when we fell in love. But there would be many other circumstances of infatuation that didn't go anywhere, and you wouldn't call that love.
And that is our discussion of Chapter 3 of Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen. I'm Frances Duncan. This has been Emma. Thank you for listening, and we wish you happy reading.
I'm dumbstruck by your eloquence.
Really?
That's what's going on.
The things you say.